presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Georgia's 2017 recruiting class was truly a historic haul. I don't know that the program has ever had a better collection of talent come into the program in 1 year than what came in for the class of 2017. Over the course of the next 3 to 4 years, there is a lot expected from this group. And for a few of these guys, there's a lot expected here in their freshman season of 2017. But I think it's safe to say that for these players, the de-recruitment has begun. It's probably already started, but it is in full force here during summer practice because the accolades of the five-star status that they enjoyed back in February, it seems like a long time ago now. And Saturday was another example of this. Georgia has its kind of first official summer scrimmage, and by all indications, and if you live in the state of Georgia, you know this is true, by all indications that it was a scorcher in Athens. Very hot, maybe left morale a little low as guys, you'll hear Chip Towers say this later on, long scrimmage, a long time out there, almost like a full game's worth of length, and apparently left some guys pretty fatigued throughout the course of the process. And maybe some of those guys were some of the biggest name freshmen for Georgia's 2017 class. A few of these guys apparently Kirby wants to see a lot more from during practices, if we have any hope of seeing these guys also do that on the field for Georgia coming up this fall. One of those players in particular might be the former five-star offensive tackle Isaiah Wilson, who came to Georgia from Brooklyn, New York. Was a guy who was expected to do a lot, maybe even start, and this is freshman season. But in the early practices, you didn't hear Kirby talk much about Wilson at all. I asked Seth Emerson about it on Thursday when he joined us on Dog Nation Daily. Seth said that it could be that Isaiah's gotten off to a bit of a slow start here. Later on, though, in the week, Wilson did get praised by Kirby Smart. So did that praise continue on Saturday? Well, after the scrimmage, Kirby Smart was asked that question directly by a member of the media, and Kirby Smart really didn't continue that line of thought. Maybe Wilson in the hot Georgia heat maybe took a bit of a step back on Saturday. Here's Kirby.
You know, he hasn't looked as good as he did the day we went inside. I thought he was another guy that, yes, they got in the heat. He kind of wilted a little bit. A lot of guys didn't play with the speed and the tenacity. I guess it's the sixth consecutive, maybe, or, you know, sixth consecutive practice in a row. And it showed a little bit with some of those guys. A little disappointed that they couldn't push through mentally better and push through the heat. And, you know, he was a guy that struggled with that a little bit. As far as how he performed, I couldn't say that right now. I just thought he didn't show up the same quickness that he showed up with 2 days ago.
Now, Kirby's obviously kind of the classic coach, so what we don't always know is if his definition of disappointed truly means he didn't play well, or if Kirby Smart just got the standard set so high that it's hard for anybody to achieve that. We probably won't find that out until later on, but Wilson's obviously one of those players that Georgia needs to be in a position to play and contribute as early as possible during the season, as has been pointed out by others. That Georgia offensive line may be a work in process throughout the season. It's those guys who are capable and ready to play in September that could go a long way in determining just how successful the Georgia offense is in some of its tough September games against Appalachian State, who you have to consider there, Notre Dame as well, and then Mississippi State to close out the season. So Kirby pushing Isaiah, challenging Isaiah to do a little more in practice, handle the heat and the intensity of practice a little better. But that's not the only former Uber recruit that Kirby Smart's kind of laying down the challenge to. Now, he's not mentioning these guys by names, but Kirby Smart is talking a lot about the freshman defensive backs right now. And the leadership from that freshman group ought to be the two safeties, D'Angelo Gibbs, Richard LeCount, two players that a lot of Georgia fans expect to be big-time contributors here this season. But are they standing out so far in practice? After the scrimmage on Saturday, apparently not. Here's what Kirby said about the full collection of freshman defensive backs.
We've got seven true freshmen back there that none of them are sticking out, which is not always a good thing. You know, we have a hole from here to here, right, and these guys have got to get up here faster.
And it's worth pointing out that Smart's comments there about his freshman defensive backs not an anomaly. Sometimes the English language can be a bit of a challenge for me. Anomaly, I believe, is the word I'm looking for. This is not necessarily one of those things, because Kirby Smart also kind of challenged and criticized these freshman DBs a little bit last week too. Here's a reminder of that.
These freshmen have not shown up in secondary to make themselves ready to play like maybe a running back has, or a wide receiver has, or a different position might have, O-lineman. So that's the deficiency where we got to improve it.
And listen, the bottom line for me on this is when it comes to Isaiah Wilson, when it comes to Richard LeCount, when it comes to D'Angelo Gibbs, I expect all these guys to contribute as freshmen this season. And with at least two of those three names, maybe all three, I expect early contribution here during the 2017 season. But this, from the weekend, another storyline that serves as a reminder of something we all experience each and every year. No matter how much a incoming recruit is praised, and no matter how much of a given it may seem that this player is going to have an outstanding career at Georgia, once you go through college football practices for the first time, we all find out that college football is just really, really hard. And getting acclimated to the challenges of college football can be difficult for even the most perfectly prepared freshmen. And when it comes to the size and skill quotient of the guys we just mentioned, they are pretty well prepared for college. But even for those guys, it's going to be tough. And right now, they're finding out just how tough college football is. I expect, though, when it comes to Isaiah Wilson, Richard LeCount, D'Angelo Gibbs, and all the other members of Georgia's 2017 class, they're going to answer that challenge. The one that Kirby Smart's specifically delivering, they're going to heed that warning, heed that call. And over the course of the next couple of weeks, my expectation is that all these guys will start to kind of come into their own. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Thank you so much for being with us to start the week here on this Monday, whether you're watching us on Facebook Live. Of course, we do the show on video there at 10 a.m. each and every Monday through Friday. We're also on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref and in podcast form on SoundCloud, on iTunes, at dognation.com. Pretty much wherever you can find podcasts, you can find Dog Nation Daily. Of course, we'd love to have you give us a rating and a review there on iTunes and subscribe. You know, we put the show out early on iTunes, so before you can kind of get it audio anywhere else, you can get it on iTunes. So if you've been waiting for the show to be posted at dognation.com, check it out on iTunes. You get the thing right there around 11 a.m. or so you can have it ready for you before you go to lunch. Of course, we try to get it up timely on dognation.com as well, but we'll give the subscribers a bit of a break, let them get the podcast there just a little bit early. By the way, we'd love to have you come out and see us on August the 22nd for our second annual Dog Nation season kickoff. We're going to be at the Kroger at Lindbergh from 6 to 8 p.m. We're going to be giving away our Own the East t-shirts, and I love these Own the East t-shirts. The Own the East logo is great. We actually tweeted out a thing from the Dog Nation Twitter account of the day. You can see the Own the East logo that's going to be on the t-shirts. We also show that to you on video as well. But I want to have you come out to the Kroger in Lindbergh on August 22nd from 6 to 8 p.m. for that big event. I'll be there. Jeff's going to be there. I believe we may have some more of our Dog Nation friends there. We'll do a broadcast. We're going to do also a very special kind of off-air conversation. We'll have a PA system so you can hear it all, microphones, and we're going to kind of get into, I guess, the real story on Georgia football, maybe some of the stuff that you you know, don't always hear on the broadcast or read at dognation.com, a little more behind-the-scenes type stuff. We're going to try to do that for you that night on August the 22nd there at the Kroger at Lindbergh, so hope you will be a part of that. It's going to be a lot of fun. And by the way, I know some of you have asked, well, what if you can't be at Kroger at Lindbergh? What if you live in Tennessee or Alabama, Florida? How can we get a Own the East t-shirt? Well, luckily, our friends at Kroger and Georgia's Own Credit Union have made these Own the East t-shirts possible, and we're going to try to see if we can figure out a way to get some for some of our folks outside the state of Georgia a little bit, too. But if you can come into the state that day for the event, of course, we would love to see you. All right, Chip Towers coming up in just a moment here on Dog Nation Daily. There are a few things I kind of want to get into, though, before we bring Chip onto the program today. It's going to be a really fun conversation with Chip. Obviously, in my role here as chief Gator hater, I can't help but have a good time at the expense of the Florida Gators here on this Monday, now that seven former Florida players, or not former, they're still current Florida players, but they will be suspended for the season opener against Michigan, including wide receiver Antonio Callaway. Now, there's kind of a lot to be said about this, but the big question that would be asked is, how does this impact Georgia? You know, if these guys only miss the Michigan game, there's an argument to be made that it doesn't impact Georgia whatsoever, because we don't expect Florida to win the national championship anyway. Florida could lose to Michigan and still be fine for all of its in-season goals of winning the East, winning the SEC championship, and really using that as a potential qualifier for the college football playoff. The Michigan game may not be all that consequential. But here's what I think the real takeaway for Georgia fans should be. First of all, it's always fun watching the Gators squirm. It's always fun, you know, watching them, you know, have to deal with something like that. They've been kind of probably smug in the direction of Georgia in the past when Georgia's had some of its issues, and maybe in this case, turnabout's fair play. But the actual real point I want to make on this is a bit more of a serious one. So Antonio Callaway's only going to be suspended for the Michigan game, But I think this just becomes, and that's Florida's best offensive player. Maybe Florida's best overall player, but Callaway is clearly Florida's best offensive player. And really the number one reason why a lot of folks are expecting an offensive turnaround for the Gators, a lot of that centers around the wide receiver Antonio Callaway. But here's what we know here. This is like his third brush with the law. And to be fair here, when it comes to the he got pulled over for the marijuana incident earlier this offseason. Well, wasn't charged in that case, but he was with the guy who has a really long rap sheet. He was investigated for a sexual assault issue a year or so ago. And that ultimately didn't bring about any kind of criminal charges. But that's the kind of place you don't ever want to find yourself in, whether you broke the law or not. The fact that you're being investigated for a crime like that's probably not a great sign. So here's like the third brush with the law when it comes to Antonio Callaway, and this one apparently significant enough that Florida makes the choice to suspend him for the season opener. I think if you're Florida, the legitimate question you have to ask is, how plugged in is my best player right now? Is my best player ready to lead this offense into a better performance here in 2017? If he's having this many brushes with the law, not all resulting in criminal charges, mind you, but this many brushes with the law, is this a player that I can trust when things are tough? Especially if the Gators have some problems at the quarterback position this year, which I believe they very well might. I believe Florida may have an issue there at quarterback. Malik Zaire does not appear to be winning this job as fully and completely as a lot of Florida fans probably hoped. There's a battle, a tugging, pulling, push, tugging of war back and forth between he and Felipe Franks. And is Callaway going to be able to be a leader on a team that's having trouble at quarterback and having trouble getting him the football? I don't think that's an unfair question to ask. I think this Florida offense is far from a finished product. I think that Antonio Callaway, suspended for the Michigan game, is far from a trusted leader for that Florida offense right now, and that may be one of the areas in which Georgia benefits. The guy that's really supposed to raise the level of play for the Florida offense, he may just not be the kind of player that you can count on. I also want to mention this for a moment. You got a lot of big recruiting news kind of coming to a head here for Georgia. Now, we've been in something of a dead period here during the month of August, but over the course of the next few days, a lot of that's going to change. You know, Azeez Ojulari getting ready to make his announcement. Georgia needs help on defense. Ojulari is one of those guys that can provide that. A lot of folks think that he's a strong Georgia lean. There's also some thought out there, you know, watch out for the aforementioned Florida Gators on this, but a lot of fans at the forum at forum.dognation.com seem to think that Ojulari is one of those guys that could be in the mix here for Georgia. Really just a few days away from his announcement, that will be a big one for Georgia when it goes down, especially for the Dogs who really need help in that 2018 class when it comes to defense. You know, the kind of guy that can contribute to the Georgia pass rush. If you're watching some video or watching some of his high school highlights right now, he's a part of that uber-talented Marietta team, and that's potentially a big get for Georgia. Stay tuned to Dog Nation for more on that. But it's not just Ojulari here. It's also the wide receiver, Kiaris Jackson, from Peach County, also potentially in the fold here for Georgia. His announcement just a few days away. Dog Nation going to be all over that one coming up in the days ahead. I know Jeff will be writing about that a lot in the Centel Intel leading up to the Kiaris Jackson announcement, and for a Georgia program that needs to find a wide receiver, too, for the class of 2018. Jackson is obviously one of those guys that could certainly contribute in a big way on that. A lot of Georgia fans have their fingers crossed for good news on Jackson. We'll certainly follow that to see where it goes. But the other thing that kind of comes out over the weekend is that Jackson may not be the only pretty big-name receiver who's got Georgia on his mind right now, assuming that's the direction that Jackson ultimately goes. How about the online predictions kind of flooding in for the wide receiver Elijah Moore from St. Thomas Aquinas, the big program down in South Florida? You got a bunch of those 24/7 sports crystal balls. We have fun talking about those from time to time. I think that's a great idea for an online, you know, deal there. Let folks go on the record as to what their prediction is. A lot of folks going on the record right now about Elijah Moore to UGA. So I think a lot of folks thought at one point in time the other receiver to potentially join Kiaris Jackson, where Jackson to come in, might be a guy like Josh Rand from Tucker. Now it seems like a lot of folks pointing the direction towards Elijah Moore down there in South Florida, who I guess had been strongly considering Ole Miss. Obviously, Ole Miss is in a lot of turmoil right now, which potentially opens the door for Moore to Georgia. So potentially some really interesting recruiting news coming out here over the course of the next few days. Hope you'll stay tuned to DogNation.com for all of that. Now, one final thing to get to here off the top of our program. Speaking of DogNation.com, if you haven't yet gone to DogNation.com to see the season debut highlights for Justin Fields, who made his season debut on Friday night, please go check that out at DogNation.com. You know, you really see once again what all of the fuss is, all of the conversation is when it comes to Fields. Another dazzling performance from him. You know, most of it, I think, all comes kind of basically in the first half. You know, he didn't have to play the entire game. But if you're really looking for Fields, who does it with his arm, does it with his legs, really why he's gotten so much attention as the number one overall prospect for the class of 2018, check this out at DogNation.com. It's a nice video package of his highlights. It's, you know, better low-angle video than some of what you get online. Really a good chance for you to see Justin Fields. So check that out at DogNation.com. Great to have you with us here today on Dog Nation Daily. It's Chip Towers coming up right now, and hope you enjoy the rest of the program.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
And we'll say hello to Chip Towers here on this Monday. Always good having him on Dog Nation Daily, and good talking about a scrimmage for the Georgia Bulldogs on Saturday. And Chip, I guess what I'll do is I'll start with this. I've probably been as guilty as anyone of kind of focusing in on the offensive line in the absence of Isaiah Wynn and all the different ways it's being aligned and all the possible ways that it can be aligned by Kirby Smart. But at a certain point in time, is the storyline supposed to shift from who's playing offensive line with Isaiah Wynn out and maybe shift towards why has Isaiah Wynn missed so many practices? I mean, is this something that Georgia fans ought to be a little bit more concerned about? He is, after all, the Dogs' best offensive lineman on paper.
Yeah, I would say, you know, it's not something to be too concerned about because, look, I'll be honest with you, Brandon. I think most of us have an idea of what is keeping Isaiah Wynn out. You know, I don't know why, you know, Georgia wants to be, you know, quite so protective and secretive of the situation, but certainly in, the age of HIPAA and everything else. But I'll just say, you know, I think we all know there's certain protocols that are – very important to certain injuries in football. Yeah. And so here's the good news on it. Just forgetting all that, Isaiah Wynn knows what he's doing. You know, he's played a lot of left tackle for Georgia. And so probably the silver lining in here is all the people that are having to work and move around and get shifted. Now, there's two foods of thought on offensive line. You know, a lot of guys like to have your five blocks of granite and you just work those guys and they work together as one unit. Georgia may be missing a little bit in terms of that, of working together as a unit by having Isaiah Wynn out. But otherwise, a lot of these young guys are getting a lot of work, and Dyshon Sims has got to get a lot of work at left tackle by association. You know, Isaiah Wilson is getting a lot of work at right tackle, probably more than he would get if Dyshon Sims were there. And I think ultimately that guy may end up being your right tackle when it's all said and done. So, I mean, I think if there's anybody that was out, this would really be a problem if maybe one of those young guys was out, because what they're getting is so invaluable in terms of learning the system and all that. At least Isaiah Wynn, you know, pretty much knows what he's doing. And I think we'll see him back very soon.
You know, Kirby Smart used a similar description language-wise when it comes to Jonathan Ledbetter missing the scrimmage on Saturday. How much of a reason is his absence potentially for concern for Georgia fans? He's obviously one of the most important players in this Georgia defense this season.
Well, I agree with you on that. I mean, I think I've said in this forum before, Brandon, I mean, I really think a lot of Jonathan Ledbetter. I think he's a difference maker for Georgia and is going to be this season. So all of these guys, you want them on the field all the time, but it's really unreasonable to think that everybody's going to stay healthy and on the field for every practice of camp, especially, and this is a good segue, I think, on this front, Brandon, as physical as this camp has been for the Bulldogs. They are, Kirby and the staff are putting them through it. I mean, there's a lot of 1v1, number one unit versus number one unit, full contact all the time. My understanding on this scrimmage, and it was closed, most of it except for just a period or two to us, Brandon, was this thing went more than 3 hours.
Wow.
You know, and they are working them hard. So, look, there's going to be some collateral damage when you do that, and that's kind of what's going on here. And I think you're seeing, especially with guys like Ledbetter and Wynn, you know, they're going to err on the side of caution for guys like that who know what they're doing, and the other guys are going to continue to compete and they'll reintroduce these guys to the rotation as soon as they can.
Let me ask you one more kind of injury-related question, then we'll move on to a different subject, and that's about J.J. Holloman. And here's the, I guess, the comparison that popped in my mind today, and maybe this is the wrong comparison, I'll let you tell me, but, you know, he, I guess, dealing with a little bit of a hamstring injury or something to that effect, and it almost reminds me a little bit of what Elijah Holyfield dealt with last summer with his ankle, where, you know, Holyfield was a guy who I think was probably having a pretty good camp. I think that's what you and Seth had reported. And then the ankle injury happens, and then, you know, he kind of gets behind Herrien on the depth chart and never was really able to kind of jump back ahead of Herrien during the season. For Georgia fans who saw Holloman have a pretty good G-Day game, and the assumption is that at least one or two of these freshmen are going to have a chance to play and contribute this season, you hope that this hamstring injury for him does in any way kind of put him behind somebody else in the depth chart, and maybe he, you know, is sort of behind that guy to start the season here. I just don't want to get too far ahead of myself on the Holloman situation, but seeing him missing a little bit of time right now, I guess, does remind me of Elijah Holyfield a little bit.
Yeah, the good news, bad news on Holloman's situation is it obviously occurred, you know, much earlier. If you remember, Holyfield's ankle injury happened pretty late in camp, and he had been impressing and doing a pretty good job. Whereas J.J.'s hamstring injury came early in camp, and that's somewhat good news. The bad news of it is this is really not uncommon to see among these wideouts. I cannot tell you, Brandon, these guys are really incredible athletes, the wide receivers in particular. Those guys do more running than anybody else out on the field. And, you know, I mean, Georgia does everything they can to possibly monitor. In fact, they do monitor it. They have GPS fitted on all their skill players that monitors how much they're running, how fast they're running, how much they're sprinting. I mean, all of that is broken down for them. But at the end of the day, those young guys, it can be a lot more wear and tear on than the older guys who are kind of used to doing it. They say that the numbers that Terry Godwin puts up every day, just the number of miles that he's running during the practice, would just blow your head away. And so those young guys, those are, you know, it takes them a while to adjust to it. And fortunately, Georgia's been a lot better about hamstring injuries last year in particular. That was one thing that I thought improved. Why, I'm not 100% sure. I've heard that Scott Sinclair, some stuff that he does in the strength and conditioning training has helped Georgia in that regard. But Georgia always, traditionally, and all teams have hamstring problems with these wide receivers. J.J. Holloman being the only one is probably a good news, but the bad news is, you know, he's missing valuable camp time. That's a guy you're expected to possibly move into the rotation, and especially being a young guy, he needs as many reps as he can possibly get live so he knows what he's doing when game time comes. So that's hurting him right now. He looks real close to getting back. He's working on the side with Ron Corson, the sports medicine director, so I suspect we'll see him back on the field pretty soon, but you got to be real careful with those things and not come back too early.
So to a certain extent, I make a living kind of reading between the lines about what Kirby Smart says, but but even I have a hard time sort of making sense of Kirby called the scrimmage balanced. I can't tell if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, the honest truth is he wasn't that critical on Saturday. I watched it on video. You were there live, but based on what I saw on video, he wasn't that critical of kind of what went on. Dare we say that he was a little bit happy with what he saw, or is that maybe taking it too far?
Yeah, that's probably taking it too far. You know, one thing I've learned about Kirby, you know, in this 2 years that he's been around, you know, he's not going to come out there throwing bouquets. Now, he's not – the one thing, you know, I really like about him is he seems pretty much a straight shooter if you ask him, you know, a direct question about a player. But he's always going to lean on what that player needs to do better, whether it's Jacob Eason, Jake Fromm, you know, Trent Thompson, you know, but every once in a while you'll hear the little pearls. Like, you know, the other, he's talking about, you know, the running game not being very good the other day, but he also says, well, that could have something to do with Trent Thompson and Roquan Smith.
Yeah.
And that's the reality of it. Those guys are playing out of their minds. They're playing really, really well. So, you know, that's typical camp talk. You're never going to hear a whole lot of great stuff. Now, I have heard enough, Brandon, that was a sponsor-viewed scrimmage. In other words, the people who pay for sponsorships and everything came to the scrimmage as sponsored guests. So I heard a lot of chatter kind of secondhand. And I heard the same thing from those people that I've kind of gathered on my own, and that's that the defense is really good and kind of dominating, and the offense is kind of struggling a little bit to break through on that. But overall, it's pretty good. But they're not, you know, they're not pounding the rock against Georgia's defense. They're trying to work on the passing game and that kind of stuff. And I think that refrain is, I think we kind of know what we're going to get in Georgia. The best thing about Georgia is that game is just a little over 2 weeks away, and they'll get to play somebody else, and we can have a real, you know, a referendum on what this Georgia team is going to look like.
No doubt about that. I want to ask you about Cameron Nizalek, and I'll let you sort of correct me on the pronunciation because I'm sure that I butchered it there. But to me, when you hear this story about, you know, he's in line to potentially be Georgia's starting punter, and you kind of combine that with the Akil Crumpton news that Crumpton's apparently looked pretty good in practices and has a really good chance of making a dynamic impact on Georgia's team, maybe as a kick returner and possibly at times at least as a wide receiver too. Coupling that with last year, Maurice Smith was essentially Georgia's defensive MVP. Tyler Catalina brought in late to the fold, became Georgia's starting left tackle. Brian Herring, who really no one knew about, I certainly didn't know much about him, proved to be a pretty good running back. I mean, I think we're pretty quickly here getting a profile of Kirby Smart being really good at kind of working the transfer game, adding players late to the process who kind of come in and contribute. Finding a transfer starting punter, when you think about Georgia's need to improve its starting field position, that's not nothing, Chip. I think that Kirby Smart probably deserves a little credit for that if this indeed is going to play out this way.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I've learned about Kirby that I would give him the highest marks in is basically roster management. I mean, this is not a guy who's going to go into the season with a scholarship or two in his pocket that he could possibly present as a battlefield promotion, as Coach yeah. Dooley used to call it. He is going to go out and find somebody. If there's a weakness that he sees on the team, he is going to find somebody. And even if there's a strength on the team, he's going to search for somebody to compete against it. So, you know, that's one of those kind of good news, bad news scenarios, too, on Cameron Nizalek, however you pronounce it. I was actually looking for the enunciation guide, and they don't have one on him yet. But I think we're going to learn his name yeah. well this season. And, you know, on some level, you kind of feel bad for Marshall Long. Marshall Long is one of those guys who came very highly recommended, certainly as a punter. You know, one of the nation's best when he signed out of North Carolina to come to Georgia. But between just not being able to get it going on the field, he's had injuries as well, and that's really tough to overcome. But it's a dog-eat-dog world, you know, and Kirby's not going to sit around and just say, we don't have a very good punter. You know, he's going to go find a punter, and apparently he's found a really good one. And this kid out of the Ivy League, really incredible story, and I hope at some point we get a chance to talk to him, because it's not often you get a grad transfer from the Ivy League yeah. who, you know, is potentially going to be a starter for you during the season.
So Kirby Smart talked about Jacob Eason on Saturday, and once again, this was an example of him being mostly complimentary of Eason. He did say something to the effect of, had some things out there that he needed to do better, and he still needs to get better in general. That's the paraphrase of kind of what he said. But around that was more kind of complimentary talk for Eason. I mean, should we assume here that, and I know I ask you some version of this question every week, but it's another reason to ask you that maybe Eason really is turning a corner and he's earning the trust of Kirby Smart in a way that he didn't have it back in the spring, or certainly didn't have it at the end of last season?
Well, I would think just as much as these guys work, you know, and Jacob Eason as a quarterback is doing it as much or more than anybody, you know, day-to-day work, day-to-day playbook work, film work, on-field practice, just natural progression, you know, you're going to get a lot better freshman to sophomore year. And you know, we spoke to Jacob last week, and I thought he was very straightforward. You just can't underplay what it means to start as a freshman in the SEC, you know, every week. I mean, just the trials you're going through on the field, the challenges that you're facing, the speed of the game. You know, he said it, coming from Washington high school football to the SEC was a big transition. That's hard. But naturally, he's going to get better. Now, in terms of what Kirby says and everybody else says, I mean, I think we're in that phase, you know, right here before the season. It's really all narrative now. I mean, they, you know, Georgia has to get behind Jacob Eason. He's their guy. And I don't think you're going to hear anything but encouragement come out of anybody's mouth with regard to Jacob Eason. It's going to be on the field in live action play where we see how much better he's gotten. But I don't think there's any question that he's going to improve. And if he can improve significantly, I mean, that bodes really well for Georgia. But, you know, you're also doing it behind a kind of a makeshift offensive line and that kind of stuff. So, you know, he's got a big challenge in front of him as a sophomore as well. But I think you'll see a much better Jacob Eason.
Let me squeeze in a quick final question here. Kirby Smart really challenged those freshmen in the secondary. And obviously two of the names that jumped to the top of that conversation are Richard LeCount and D'Angelo Gibbs, two very popular members of Georgia's 2017 class. But it seems like right now Kirby Smart wants to see a little more from them during practice. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think he's a little disappointed in what he's gotten out of that entire freshman class with particular regard to the defensive backs. You know, I mean, Georgia signed six of them, okay? And this was definitely an area that he was trying to address. Particularly, I mean, those safeties are fine. I mean, I think LeCount and Gibbs are probably the best two that Georgia's gotten out of it in terms of they're probably definitely going to contribute. Where Georgia has not really come through, or the freshmen have not really come through for Georgia, is at those cornerback positions. And if you look at Georgia's defensive backfield as a whole, I definitely think, you know, Malcolm Parrish and DeAndre Baker are you know, serviceable and better than serviceable. I mean, I think they're good cornerbacks. But where Georgia is missing stepping up as a defense and being a national powerhouse is really having an elite, you know, kind of lockdown corner. And, you know, you've got some candidates like that, you know, really guys like Amir Speed and Trey Bishop and those kind of guys, you know, they're bigger, they're faster, but that is such a difficult position to play. I cannot, you know, I can't overestimate how hard it is to make that transition, especially guys who were playing different positions in high school mostly, you know, playing quarterback and most of them played the high safety on defense where they just kind of play center field and cover from sideline to sideline. This is so job specific and, you know, zone versus man-to-man and disguising coverages and doing that. It's just a really hard transition. You hope somebody would come through, but he's been disappointed in what he's seen in that regard so far.
Hey, Chip, we really appreciate your time on Dog Nation Daily. I know you've got a lot of great stuff coming up on the site this week. We'll look forward to reading it, including plenty more from practice as well. And we'll talk to you here on Dog Nation Daily again very soon also. Thanks so much for your time.
You got it, Brandon.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Good stuff there from Chip Towers. Always enjoy having him on Dog Nation Daily. And, of course, we're glad to have you with us on the program as well. Let me start the SEC Through by reminding you of a couple things here. First of all, we're getting ready for our Dog Nation Invasion to South Bend coming up in September. A lot of you also planning on being a part of that. You're either on the buses, maybe you won one of the trips. We're looking forward to seeing a bunch of Georgia fans there in South Bend. And, of course, it would not be possible that our friends from R.S. Andrews will help bring the Dog Nation Invasion to you. And let me tell you something. It was hot this weekend. If your air conditioning wasn't working, you know that. And listen, the way to make sure it works all summer long, that it doesn't go out on you in a day like this weekend when it was just so muggy and humid, is to get the folks from R.S. Andrews and the guaranteed $99 AC tune-up over to your house. Let them take care of it all. They're clean, screen, trained, and timely techs. Timely is important here. Going to give your system a thorough check over. They're going to make sure it works for you for the rest of the summer. And by the way, into September. Some of you, these games you're not planning on going to, you want to be able to sit there and watch these Georgia games in cool style and comfort. R.S. Andrews makes that possible. Check them out online at rsandrews.com. They're the only ones that I trust. Also, please make sure you check out SEC Country Live today, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. And don't you know it? There's going to be a lot of talk today about the Florida Gators and the 7 Gators suspended for the season opener against Michigan. If you're just joining the show, well, what I said earlier in the broadcast was, I think the benefit here to Georgia is the real question of what Antonio Callaway's got going on in his personal life, and is that too much of a distraction for him on the football field? This is essentially at least three, by my count, brushes with the law for him in the last, you know, year or so. Now, not all of those have resulted in criminal charges. Maybe none of them will end up resulting in criminal charges here, but it is a problem for Callaway that makes you wonder, is his head screwed on straight? Now, that's Florida's problem to try to figure out, question to answer. But for Georgia, you maybe can benefit here from a Florida offense that doesn't get as much better in 2017 it's supposed to if Callaway's truly not focused on football and he's more interested in some of these, you know, sort of extracurricular activities that he's got going on, including what a lot of people online believe may be credit card fraud when it comes to the issue with Florida and the suspension. However, one word of caution here, though. For those of you who have a tendency to want to be point spread players and make bets on upcoming games, don't be so quick to assume that Callaway's absence for the game against Michigan does a whole lot to change the ultimate outcome. Now, I've seen some conflicting information on this. I saw where Clay Travis tweeted out that the line wasn't changing at all because of the Florida suspension, although there was also a report that at least one online betting service had moved the line 2 points in the direction of Michigan from Wolverine's 2.5-point favorite to Wolverine's 4.5-point favorite on the heels of the Florida announcement. Ultimately, in college football, one guy, now this is, I know, seven players, but it's the Callaway name that will resonate the most here, one guy does not change the outcome of a game all that much. I think Michigan's likely to beat Florida in the season opener. I thought that Florida had a chance to keep it close. I don't think Callaway being suspended for the game against Michigan eliminates Florida's chances of winning that game. I just don't. So for those Florida fans or for those Georgia fans looking forward to kind of rubbing in Florida's face here, be careful assuming that Michigan's going to have a very easy time because of the suspensions. History shows us that kind of personnel movement before a game doesn't impact the outcome as much as we might think it does. A few more SEC stories to get to here. Butch Jones is kind of pushing back on those who have made fun of him for some of his catchphrases and his slogans like five-star heart, champion of life. He says that's all been blown out of proportion, and maybe to a certain degree it has. But the reason why this gets blown out of proportion is for two reasons. First of all, compare him for a moment to, like, is it P.J. Fleck? Is that the guy's name who was at Western Michigan who's, where is he now? Somewhere, say it again. He's got a bigger job now. He's somewhere in the Big Ten now. He's got a bigger job now. And, you know, he's doing the row the boat thing. He's got all these catchphrases, all these deals. And people like that and tolerate that from P.J. Fleck because he was coaching in a glorified high school, and he's only now trying to step up and make the move to sort of big-time football. But Jones has been at Tennessee for a while, and he still talks about a P.J. Fleck, a guy who's comfortable being in a place like Western Michigan. That's part of the reason why people criticize Butch Jones is because Butch Jones sounds like a guy coaching in a program below the stature of a Tennessee. The other thing about Butch Jones, the reason why people kind of mock him for these five-star heart champion of life style catchphrases is because for the most part, that's the only kind of language Butch Jones ever uses. He doesn't really say anything of any consequence or value other than stuff like that. The only public words he's ever remembered for are the kind of words that are worthy of mockery. That's one of the reasons why Jones gets the negative attention that he gets. Couple quick quarterback points. Let me make these here for a moment before we close at the SEC through. Mike Canales, praises Jerry Garantano after a Tennessee scrimmage on Saturday. Calls him laser-focused, talking about some of the things that he was doing out there on the practice field. That probably adds credence to the notion that Tennessee may play two quarterbacks against Georgia Tech. Now, Vols fans will have to tell us if that's a good idea or a bad idea, good news or bad news. But the notion of having a clear resolution to the Tennessee quarterback challenge, we thought we might have that back in the spring. It looked like Dormady was the clear leader. Here in the summer, maybe that's a little less likely to be true. More bad news potentially for LSU at quarterback. I don't know why Ed Orgeron keeps giving out these stats from scrimmages. He's the only coach in the SEC, I think, that does this. And every time he gives them out about his starting quarterback, it makes him sound terrible. Danny Etling on Saturday was 8 of 18 with 2 interceptions. After last week, he was below 50% completion percentage in the scrimmage as well, and that was true for him in every spring scrimmage also. I guess Miles Brennan, the incoming freshman who didn't even go through spring practice, was not an early enrollee, just showed up a couple weeks ago. He got some snaps with the number ones on Saturday. LSU has got problems at quarterback, and that's going to give LSU problems on the field. I don't think this is even a top 25 team this season, and I know that's going against the grain of what a lot of people are thinking, but watch out for trouble for LSU, especially if they cannot find a quarterback. One more quarterback story to get to. Looks like Jared Stidham, according to reports at SECCountry.com, really stood out at the Auburn scrimmage on Saturday. Really put some distance between himself and Sean White and the other quarterbacks there. We knew this was going to happen eventually, and now it is happening. And for the people who want to say that Stidham's another Jeremy Johnson, here's potentially another piece of evidence to prove that's not true. We saw Sean White effective when he was on the field at times last year, before he was injured, by the way. He's probably injured late in the season. Before he's injured, Sean White was effective. If Stidham's clearly better than him, that gives you an idea of how good Stidham may be for Auburn this season. A tough game for Georgia when it travels there in November, and we'll make that your SEC through. So let's close out the show the way we have been over the last couple of days. And I hate to move the Gator Hater countdown, you know, deeper into the show, but we've just got so much going on these days. That's kind of what we have to do. But nonetheless, there are 74 days between now and the comeuppance for the Florida Gators in Jacksonville. And, we, you know, we'll laugh and make fun of the Gator suspensions along the way to that. And we'll certainly get ready to own the East here in 2017 if you're a Georgia fan. And beating Florida, I think, going to be a big part of that. I had a meeting with some people on Friday. Apparently, we got completely wiped out of the Chop Dog Nation store. So over the course of the next few days, all the sizes are going to be restocked. Check out shopdognation.com. You can get a Dog Nation Daily Gatorade or T-shirt. The larges and extra larges are set to come in first. And then after that, we'll get the smalls, the mediums. We'll also have double and triple X going into the store for you. So we're going to restock the store. We're going to get Dog Nation blanketed in Gatorade or T-shirt before the start of the season. And we'll see you tomorrow right here on Dog Nation Daily.